Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. Today we start with a new adventure. We're going to listen to the discourses by Osho on the 10 rules of the Chinese Zen master Kakuan. Also you can listen to beautiful music by Osho friends and lovers. Music from the world of Osho that is in tune with the subject that Osho is talking about. Enjoy this 1 hour for yourself, relax, and just let yourself go into meditation.
Fighting with the river for as long as I can think. I've been going against the current. I was scared that I would sink. I was swimming, didn't realize that floating felt so sweet. Now I'm absolutely wasted and I'm accepting my defeat. Been busy in the future, I was running round the past. Now this moment's catching up with me and it's happening at last. I was living my dreams, I've been trying to beat the heat. Just like fighting with your shadow and I'm accepting my defeat. Fight to keep it going and you'll end up in a hole. Maybe money in the bank, but like a ghost without a soul. At the point where you are starving, though you eat and eat and eat. But let it go now, let it happen. I'm accepting my defeat. Thank you.
The discourse today is from the series The Search Number 1. Osho is talking about the Ten Bulls of Zen. The Ten Bulls of Zen were painted by a Chinese Zen master called Kakuan. He painted 10 pictures with different stories. Today's story is about finding the bull, at first not seeing anything at all, and then slowly seeing the traces of the bull appearing. The bull, Osho says, stands for your own inner energy, and everybody has to go into this individual journey inside.
Now, at the poems of Kakuan, the search for the bull. In the pasture of this world, I endlessly push aside the tall grasses in search of the bull. Following unnamed rivers, lost upon the interpenetrating paths of distant mountains, my strength failing and my vitality exhausted, I cannot find the wolf. I only hear the locust cheering through the forest at night. The bull is a symbol of energy. vitality, dynamism. The bull means the very life itself. The bull means your inner power, your potentiality. The bull is a symbol. Remember that. You are there. You have life also, but you don't know what life is. You have the energy, but you don't know from where this energy comes and to what goal this energy is going. You are that energy, but still you are not aware what that energy is. Unaware you live. You have not asked the basic question, who I am. That question is the same as the search for the bull. Who I am. And unless this is not known, how can you go on living? How can you go on living? Then the whole thing is going to be futile. Because the basic question has not been asked, has not been answered. Unless you know yourself, whatsoever you do is going to be futile. The most basic thing is to know oneself. But it happens that we go on missing the most basic. And we go on worrying about trivia. You will make big houses. You will purchase big cars. You will manage this and that. And when you will die, you will leave a big account in the bank. All non-essential. And without ever going for the real quest of who you are. The bull means your energy, the unknown, strange energy that you are, the tremendous energy out of which you have come into being, which goes on growing in you like a tree. What this energy is, that is the meaning of the bull. In the pasture of this world, I and push aside the tall grasses in search of the bull. What are the tall grasses? Symbolic. Poetry talks in symbols. Painting paints the symbols. Poetry talks the symbols. Desires are the tall grasses in which your bull is lost. So many desires, pulling you on this side, on that. So many desires, constantly a tug of war. One desire pulls you to the south, another to the north. In a small school, the teacher asks, "Now, can anyone tell me where we find mangoes?" "Yes, teacher," replied the little boy, "wherever a woman goes. Mangoes. Wherever a woman goes." Man goes on following the woman goes on following the man. The whole life is just a running after this desire or that. Finally, nothing is attained. Only frustrated dreams, a heap of frustrated dreams. look back. What have you attained? You have been running and running. Where have you reached? These are the tall grasses. Money attracts, power attracts. Without asking oneself, why I should run after these things? We go on running. In fact, because the whole society is running, every child gets the disease in inheritance. Everybody is running. The child learns by imitation. The father is running, the mother is running, the brother is running, the neighborhood is running, everybody is running for power, prestige, money, things of the world. Unaware, the child is also forced into the main current of life. Before the child can start thinking, he is already running. In our schools, we teach competition, nothing else. In our schools, we prepare children for the greater competition of life. In our schools, in fact, nothing is going on except a rehearsal. How to fight, how to manage yourself, and how to leave others behind. How to come on the top. But nobody asks the basic question, what is the point? Why should one anchor for the top? What you are going to do when you have reached on the top? When you have become a president of a country, what you are going to do? How it is going to fulfill you? Look, what is your inner need? And then work for it. And work diligently for it, intelligently for it. But first look, what is your inner need? And the inner need can be recognized only when you recognize who you are. If you can understand the quality of your energy, you will be able to understand what is going to fulfill you. Otherwise, not knowing oneself, one goes on running. The running is almost mad. It stopped by the side of the road. Meditate a little. Reconsider what you are doing, for what you are doing. Don't run in fever, because running will make you to run faster. Running will make you by and by incapable to stop. You will go on doing something or else. It will become a habit. Without it, you will not feel alive. One needs something else. But that something else has to be searched within yourself. Nobody else can give you the direction. You have your destiny within you. You have the blueprint within you. Before you start running after anything, the most fundamental thing is to close your eyes. Get in tune with yourself, with your energy, and listen to it. And whatsoever it says is good for you. Then you will feel fulfillment. By and by you will come closer and closer to your blooming, to your flowering. But people are afraid to become themselves. People are very afraid to be themselves. Because if you try to be yourself, you will become alone. Everybody is unique and alone. If you try to be yourself, you will feel aloneness. So people follow others, the crowd. They become one with the crowd. There they feel not alone, surrounded. So many people are there. If you meditate, you will be alone. And if you get mad after money, you will never be alone. The whole world is going there. If you search for God, you will be alone. But if you search for politics, power, then the whole world will be there. You will never be left alone. People are afraid of being alone. And people, if they are afraid of being alone, can never know themselves. They can never search the bull. People are afraid to decide anything on their own. They allow others to decide for them. Then they don't have the responsibility. There must be some deep fear in making a decision on your own. The fear is that if you decide on your own, who knows, it may be wrong. It is better to let others decide. They know more. They have more experience. Let the tradition decide. Let the society decide. Let the politicians decide. Let the priests decide. One thing is certain, others have to decide it. So you are free of the responsibility of making a decision. Hence people go on following others. And everybody goes on missing his own individuality. There are two ways to avoid decisions. One is, let others decide. Another is, never decide, simply drift. Both are the same. Because the basic thing is not to take the responsibility of decision. New generations have chosen the other alternative, drifting. The older generations have chosen the first alternative, to be decided by others. You may not allow your father to decide, but that doesn't mean that you are going to decide yourself. You may simply drift. You may do things whatsoever happens. You may become a driftwood. In both the ways, the search becomes impossible. The search means a decisiveness. The search means taking risk. Don't be afraid. Drop this fear. Who else can decide for you? Nobody can decide anything for you. Yeah, others can help. Others can show the path, but the decision has to be yours. Because through your decision, your soul is going to be born. The more you become decisive, the more integrated you become. The more you take the responsibility of commitment. Of course, it is very dangerous, but life is dangerous. I know there are many possibilities of going astray, but that risk has to be taken. There are possibilities you may err, but one learns by erring. Life is a trial and error. Decisions can be fatal, but there is no other way. You may go astray, but nothing is wrong in it. Going astray, you will learn something. You will become richer. You can come back. And you will be happy that you went astray. Because there are many things which can be learnt only by going astray. And there are millions of things which can be learned only if you are courageous enough to do mistakes. Remember only one thing, don't do the same mistake again and again. Religion is decided by others, then there is no need to search. Your father says God is. Your mother believes in heaven and hell, so you believe. The authority, the priest, the politician, they say something and you believe. You are avoiding. Through belief, you are avoiding trust. Belief is the enemy of trust. Trust life. Don't believe beliefs. Avoid. Avoid beliefs, Hinduism, Islam, Christianity. Seek on your own. You may come to find the same truth. You will come, because the truth is one. Once you have found it, you can say, yes, the Bible is true, but not before it. Once you have found, you can say, yes, Vedas are true, but not before it. Unless you have experienced it, unless you become a witness for it, personally, all Vedas and all Bibles are useless. They will burden you, they will not make you more free. The search is difficult because the truth is unknown. The search is difficult because the truth is not only unknown, it is unknowable. The search is difficult because the seeker has to risk his whole life for it. And there comes a moment in the search when one feels completely exhausted, tired. One starts thinking it would have been better if he had never started this search. One feels so frustrated. That one starts feeling jealous about those who have never been bothering about such things. This is natural, but exactly that is the moment when the real search starts. This exhausted energy, this tiredness is of the mind. Mind feels tired because mind is always happy in following maps. With the known, the mind remains the master. With the unknown, the strange, the mind is completely at a loss. The mind cannot figure it out. What is going on? The mind feels tired. The mind feels exhausted. The mind says, what are you doing? Why you are wasting your life? Move back. Come to the world. Be as other people are. Follow the crowd. Don't try to be individual. This moment comes in everybody's search. It is an essential moment. And if you can move, even feeling exhausted, tired, frustrated, if you can still move on and on, then the mind is dropped. And the first glimpses of meditation appear. The Second poem. Along the riverbank, under the trees, I discover footprints. Even under the fragrant grass, I see his prints. Deep in remote mountains, they are found. These traces no more can be hidden than one's nose, looking heavenward. Mind dropped. And mind is dropped only when you go on and on, when mind is saying to stop. If you don't listen to the mind and you say, I'm going to inquire, I'm going to search. If you are tired, you can drop. The mind will killing with you a little while more, but if you don't listen and you remain aloof and unconcerned, and your eyes focused there on the goal, on the bull, you will come to discover footprints. They have always been there, only you were too much crowded with thoughts, too much clouded by the mind. Hence you were not able to see those subtle footprints. Along the riverbank, under the trees, I discover footprints. Even under the fragrant grass, I told you, the tall grass represents desires. And now, even under the grass, even under your desires, you find the same footprints of the bull. Even under desires, you find God hidden. Even under the so-called worldly things, you have been seeking something of the beyond. If a man is searching more and more money, in fact, what he is searching? Money? If he is searching money, then there will come a point when he will be satisfied, but that point never comes. It seems he is searching something else. Mistakenly searching money, he is trying to find something else. He wants to be rich. Let me tell you it this way. A man who is searching money, he wants to be rich, but he does not know that to be rich is totally different than having money. To be rich means to have all the experiences that life can give to you. To be rich means to be a rainbow, not black-white. All the colors together. To be rich means mature, alert, alive. The man who is searching money is searching something else. That's why when money is achieved, nothing is achieved. The man who is searching power, what he is searching in fact? He wants to be a god. And in the world, he says, if you have power, you can pretend to be a god. Behind his search for power, the same search for God is hidden. So when he will attain to power, suddenly he will feel powerless, inside, impotent. Outside the riches, inside poor, a beggar. Even under the fragrant grass I see his prints. Deep in remote mountains they are found. These traces no more can be hidden than one's nose looking heavenward. And then one is surprised. How it was possible that I couldn't see these footprints? They are just in front of me. They have always been there as your nose. But if eyes are closed, are clouded, then you cannot see. I have heard one anecdote. It was late at night, and due to several detours, a man had become completely lost. He stopped at a farmhouse to ask the way. Am I headed in the right direction for Atlanta? He inquired of the woman who opened the door. Which way you headed? She asked. Unsure of the direction, he tried again. I mean, are my car lights pointed that way? Yes, sir, said the woman. At least the red ones are. This is the situation. The faster you run, the more confused you get. The more speedy you get, the more and more confusion happens to you. By and by, you lose all sense of direction. You simply go on zooming from here to there. Speed itself becomes the goal, as if running fast, one feels as if one is reaching somewhere, hence the attraction for his speed. It is a neurosis. The whole science is engaged in making things more and more speedy. Nobody asks where you are headed for. And as I see it, your red lights showing the right direction. Somewhere behind you, you have already left the home. Somewhere at the very source of your being is your home. But only one thing is fortunate about you. That is, whatsoever you do, you cannot go very far from the home. Because whatsoever you do is a sort of sleepwalking. A woman was very upset. My husband, she told the doctor, seems to be wandering in his mind. Don't worry about that, said the doctor. I know your husband. He can't go far. I know you. You can't go far. Because in fact, you are simply dreaming about the speed, about the going, about the goal. You are fast asleep. It is all happening in your mind, not in reality. Hence, Zen says that if you are ready, this very moment enlightenment is possible. Because you cannot go far. If your traveling is a real traveling, then enlightenment is not possible suddenly. You will have to come back. The same distance you will have to travel again. And you have been traveling for millions of lives. If the same distance has to be traveled back again, then enlightenment is almost impossible. If enlightenment is going to be gradual, it is almost impossible. Zen says it's to be sudden, as if one person is fast asleep and dreaming. And dreaming that he has gone to the moon. But in the morning he will open his eyes, where he will find himself. On the moon, he will find himself here, now. The moon will disappear with the dream. The world is a dream. Not that it does not exist. Not that it is not. The world is a dream because the world that you think is nothing but your dream. because you are asleep, unconscious, sleepy, moving, doing things. It is fortunate that you cannot go far. You can become awakened this very moment.
Our song embrace the sky.
This was Osho Radio for today. Before the discourse, you listened to Devakant, Bindu and Nadama. We played short pieces from a CD from the world of Osho called Riding the Bull. And just now, there was Milarepa with his song Love is the Answer. Staying connected with the discourse, we're going to finish with a piece of music by Karunesh called Wu Wei. Goodbye, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the program. Stay tuned and come back next time. We're going to continue with the 10 Bulls of Zen. Namaste.